This morning we have a special edition of Agent 0010's report. We're going to learn a little bit about Agent 0010. Obviously, we can't get into too in detail with this man, but we can learn a little bit about him and what he's done in the past and what it takes to be a 00 agent in the U.S. today. Good morning, Agent 0010. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I am well. I am blessed and highly favored. So today, in lieu of our traditional intel report, I thought maybe we'd get to know a little bit about what we can about the man who is the Agent 0010, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, not a problem. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, there may be some questions that I may not be able to answer, so I'll just give you a heads up on that.
Okay. Now I call you Agent 0010, but you know, and that's partly tongue in cheek. But you actually were involved in intelligence for the United States government. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I worked out of the NSA and a few of its satellite offices, and I basically started off as an analyst, and I did that for a couple of years, and then next thing you know, I was asked if I wanted to go on a specific mission, and I said, yeah, okay, sure, not a problem. And little did I know, I mean, I just jumped on the opportunity, but little did I know, I was going to go do counter-drug operations in Colombia and Panama. And I'm like, I just volunteered for what? And I got trained up for that and headed down to Colombia. And next thing you know, I was told I was going to be just an analyst, and I had no problem with that. I was going to be an on-site analyst, and next thing you know, somebody was severely hurt, and the replacement couldn't come in for a while. And next thing you know, I'm out in the jungles of Colombia on a go-fast, which is basically a riverboat, a very fast riverboat, fighting drug lords and their traffickers, which you might consider exhilarating because, well, it was. And I got addicted to adrenaline.
So people can understand this. You basically were a real-life Jack Ryan down in Colombia.
Not Jack Ryan to the point like in the movie, but I went out there with the Colombian military or Colombian police and a select few members of the DEA because I was assigned to a DEA detachment who also had a ranger detachment assigned to them. And basically our job was to track down through their communication system, track down their labs and their plantations and blow them up. And at times track down their traffickers who were trying to flow drugs into Panama. And we got into a few shootouts there.
Now, were you a person that had to depend on, you know, DEA and military personnel to protect you, or were you handed a firearm and say, learn how to use this and shoot it in a firefight?
I was what they considered a subject matter expert, and my subject matter was intercepting communications, but I already knew how to fire, you know, the M16, the M4, the 9mm. Back then they were just transferring from the 45 to the 9mm. And yeah, I was a qualified expert in the M16. I mean, I perfect score. And next thing you know, they're like, well, okay, well, that means you know how to fire a weapon, so here you go. And I went through some additional training for in case I get caught up in a firefight. But other than that, I mean, I already knew how to fire the weapons.
Now, you obviously didn't stay in that role as far as being in South America for drug interdiction. You eventually moved over into other intelligence roles of a military nature, did you not?
Yeah, I helped out in the first Gulf War. I was yanked out and put in a very important position. It was a really tiny group of us, And basically, our job was to monitor any Iraqi airplanes and jam their signals. And that was adventurous because where we were placed, we were like maybe just a couple of miles down the road from the Iranian border. And we were on the other side of the line. I mean, our troops were coming from the south, you know, towards the Iraqi military, and we were just behind the Iraqi military. So we were out there by ourselves. And like I said, just a couple of miles down the road from the Iranian border.
Now, at any time, now we've heard a number of different stories over the past few years, especially with Hillary Clinton. At any time were you undercover or doing certain things that you became aware of that your identity or cover may have been blown, or did you know anybody whose cover had been blown because of lax politicos?
My cover was blown at one point, and I was in the middle of the operation. I was pulled out immediately because they thought that, you know, my cover was blown, and they found out that there was a death notice on my head. So they yanked me out of the country as soon as possible, because they knew that they were going to be hot on my heels. And when next thing you know, I got scooped up. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And when they told me, I'm like, well, let's get the hell out of here. Let's go. So, yeah, there was a death. To this day, I'm sure there's a death notice still on my head.
And how long were you in service of your country as they like to call them, government spook?
Almost 30 years.
Almost 30 years.
Almost 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I got addicted to the adrenaline.
And you're still sane?
I mean,
we see in the movies, well, I mean, most people, they've never come across anybody in intelligence, be they military or civilian intelligence whatsoever, so they have no idea what it's like to be. All their references is what they see on TV or in the movies, and most of those guys are crazy. So they end up going crazy, at least. So you're still sane?
Well, I mean, sleep is not a luxury that I have in my life. I mean, I may sleep at the most 4 hours, and that's it. I mean, I'm wide awake again. Like I said, sleep is a rarity for me. Sometimes things come across my mind. Believe me, I mean, I've seen the ugliest of humanity, and the human creature is the one creature I can't stand the most. I mean, I'd rather deal with a shark, or I'd rather deal with a very angry badger than deal with human beings, because at least an angry badger, I can just walk away. Human beings come after you, you know. People suck for the most part. I mean, I've also seen some of the beauty of humanity, some of the most beautiful things. But after a while of holding dead children in your arms, you get tired.
Now you're starting to put together a series of novels that utilize a lot of your personal experience. And now this must be kind of, it brings back a lot of memories, obviously, because you are recalling a lot of this stuff in order to fictionalize it for your books. But how are you able, is this therapy for you? How are you able to handle putting that down on paper?
I've already broken a laptop. Remembering certain things, I mean, it affects you. It really does affect you. And after so many years of flipping the switch on and off, you know, feel nothing, feel something, feel nothing, feel something. And then after a while of just leaving the switch off completely, all of a sudden one day you didn't even realize that switch got flicked back on again, and you start remembering and reliving certain things, and the rage returns. The rage gets bad. And like I said, I've already inadvertently broke a laptop, so I thought I'd go with a tablet instead, which is a lot. It won't break as much if I try to snap the keyboard off. It attaches right back on again, so I'm good.
Okay. So you have one of those convertibles. Now I gotta tell you, I'm a military brat, and it was confirmed to me later after my father's passing that he was that later in his military Air Force career that he didn't do exactly what we thought he did. He was in military intelligence, and he was in military intelligence for quite a long time. How do you now obviously my father was very good at keeping secrets even from his family. How do you reconcile that? I mean, there are people, friends and family that know what you do, yet and still they don't really know what you do. How do you reconcile that?
Well, for the longest time, people thought I was a combat medic, and they'd see me in uniform every on occasion, but they really didn't know what I actually did. And all of a sudden, I had to come up with a different story when all of a sudden one family member got a little bit nosy. And there is one family member that I'm extremely, extremely close to. I won't say what type of family member or who they are or anything like that, but this family member, one day I told this person the absolute truth. And this person just looked at me and said, "Oh my God." I'm like, "Yeah, that's what I actually do." And this person, I mean, it felt cleansing that I told this one person because this is the most precious person in my life. And, next thing you know, I mean, it brought us even closer together. So, but everybody else, I really don't give a damn about because, I mean, it's for their own safety and they don't need to know. But honestly, it's more of a case that they really don't need to know. It's none of their business. But as far as, other people, I mean, when I traveled, they're like, "Oh, so what are you traveling to such and such a place for business?" "Oh, what do you do?" "I'm a consultant." "Oh, what are you consulting?" "Business." That's it, My
So,
business is consulting business. So
out of your foreign trips,
that
now
was it.
you've obviously traveled extensively. Well, it was for work, but on a pleasure side, where were some of your favorite places to go, and what place in particular would you never step foot in again? It wouldn't even matter if you were allowed to go to that country. But what was your favorite place, and what was the place you despised the most?
For working, I gotta say, England. I loved working with GCHQ and MI6. I loved working with those guys. Great sense of humor. Very, very professional. Awesome guys. For pleasure, my favorite time was when I used to go to Pamplona, where I did the running of the bulls three times. And I won't do it again because now it's just so overcrowded. Way too many people. But I mean, Pamplona, when I did the three running, like I said, 3 years, I did the running of the bulls and it was a blast. I loved it. I have never seen so many drunk people in one place in my entire life. And I don't think I ever will see that many drunk people again in one place for the rest of my life. But being chased by a bull was exhilarating. It was exciting.
You better be
I
drunk running
mean,
from a to get in front of a bull in the first place. Jeez, what's wrong with people?
dude, I was sober when I did that. I loved it. It was exhilarating. It was great. Now, yeah, not my old injuries have caught up with me. So, yeah, not going to be doing that again.
It's insane stuff. So, what place did you absolutely despise, or just would never go back for any reason? It's okay. We're politically incorrect here. You can name a country. I don't care.
Oh God, out of all, yeah, I just, I, Colombia, definitely Colombia. In fact, Colombia and Panama, because,
I
we
just
lost people there.
I never see Panama as being a destination for anybody. And you have to go through the Panama Canal for certain reasons, but I just never see Panama as being a place where people want to go as a destination.
The capital of Panama is Panama City, and it was fun. It was a great time, the few times that I did get a chance to go there. But, I mean, the rest of the time was really more about business. And it was, in fact, anytime we would leave anywhere, we would have to go with some undercover security because we were Americans and the drug cartels were looking for the Americans to kill the Americans that were helping the Colombians and the Panamanians stop the flow of drugs. So they wanted to get rid of us, and we were hunting them down during the day and night. But on our downtime, they had people out there, informants out there being paid that if you spot an American, let us know. And it was, a few times that we were allowed to go enjoy ourselves. Like I said, we had to go with, plainclothes security.
Yeah. Well, I can see how that can be a pain in the butt. Well, we are actually out of time. It's been fascinating. We're out of time right now. It has been wonderful getting to know 0010 a little bit, getting to know the personal side. And we're all kind of waiting with bated breath for your first book to drop. So we know that you're working on that. But it's we're glad that you're on our team, sir. Glad that you are here.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you for so much for being a part of this, my team, as well as taking the time out of your busy schedule every week to give us a report. And hopefully next week we'll get some more important stuff. Hey, stay safe out there, my friend.
Definitely. All right, thank you so much. You guys have a great one. Take care.
Bye-bye.